Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Girl Dad Girls. I'm one of your hosts, Bree St. Marie. We have that QT Danny B. We have Michaela Garcia.
Hey.
And we have Robin. Welcome to the show.
Yay.
Hey, welcome. Yeah. Finally.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right.
Freaking finally.
Wait, aren't we supposed to have a round of applause track?
Oh, yeah. For those who are listening, we are using new software, and so we get cool things like this.
What?
Oh, wait, nope. You can't hear that. Now you can hear. Wait. Yay! Yay! Technical difficulties. Technical difficulties, but we'll work them out as we go along. But yeah.
God, make my ego bigger, please.
It's already the size of New Jersey.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Like an airhead
commercials.
Yes. Love me.
Okay, Robin. So yeah, just give us a brief rundown. Who is Robin?
Robin is a trans woman from South Carolina who is an electrician. I work mostly in schools. I do data cabling, but I have done everything from building 1400 volt transformers to splicing fiber for internet. So I pretty much have done everything except for lineman work.
That is scary. That is some scary stuff. The lineman deal.
Oh yeah, like that. I don't know if that was for me, but I've also like raised up transformers into the ceilings before with like chains. So.
And when you say transformers, you're talking about like Optimus Prime and Megatron.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay, very cool.
Yeah, we raised him up there, and then we plugged him in, and powers the entire building.
Nice.
How long have you been transitioning?
I have been transitioning this past Wednesday, November 15th, was my 1 year.
Oh, congratulations. Hang on.
Yes, we're okay.
Cool. That's awesome. How's it been?
It's been a roller coaster, but it's been good. It's been a good roller coaster.
What are the three best parts so far?
I'm more in tune with my emotions. I cry a lot more, which is great. And I'm less angry, I would say.
Not the boobies, not boobs. Huh.
Oh, those two. Those are great, too.
Yeah, that goes without
saying. I mean, yeah, I just, the mental stuff is great, but I mean, I got boobs, so I mean, it always works.
This is the part for the question of what are the things that came up that you weren't expecting?
Now I'm questions on the spot. Now I gotta think.
Maybe more with like yourself, but not like outside factors.
More of, I would say, the sense of peace that I got with it. What I got with HRT. It was literally the next morning after taking my first dose, I felt a sense of calm, and the first time I ever felt that. And I said, this is it. I did it. I don't have that itchy back, that voice in the back of the head just screaming at you constantly. And I had that sense of peace, and that was the glory. And I literally cried the moment when I actually could think straight for the first time. That probably was the biggest thing that ever changed, was literally the ability to be able to think. Without shaming myself, without being angry at myself, without having that 1 foot out the door was probably the best thing I could imagine.
Nice. Yeah. Can I ask, what were some of your first physical effects that you saw from HRT?
My skin changed relatively quickly. So like my skin got softer, and that was the one thing me and my doctor, love my doctor. She was amazing. She, they moved to Guam because her wife's in the Navy. So, and this was back in Florida. I'm actually originally from here, lived in Florida for like 30 years of my life. So I actually just left back in June, which was terrifying, but it was needed because I needed to get out of there. That was the one thing we connected on, was I was like, my skin's really soft. And she's like, I know, right? No one talks about that enough. Like, I love the way it feels. And I was like, I know, it's so great. So.
Thanks. Oh, Danny, can't hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yep. Sorry, muted myself and great technical difficulties. I'm not like for those who are keeping track, I am finally back in my space, not in a freaking hotel room anymore. so getting used to everything. There's a lot of lights in here.
We have traded places. I am not in my usual space.
Oh, I know all about those lights because they're blinding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Robin's been to my apartment. Actually, Robin slept in my bed.
I did.
Mm-hmm, twice.
Oh, so we're already into the steamy part of the
podcast. All right. Just moving in onto it, just right into the curve.
Just lean into it.
Oh, it's got a curve?
Oh.
You know, it's a Brie, it's called Peyronie's disease, and it's a real thing.
Isn't that a beer, Peyronie?
Oh, it's...
I thought that was a sparkling water, but I could be wrong.
God.
So, Robin, you, Brie, and I have been friends for 3 or 4 years, something like that. How long have we known each other?
I would say closer to 5 months, but
oh,
I'll take 3 to 4
time
years.
That's flies fine. In the trans community, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I guess how would you say that you've found the community? I know, like, we're all part of the same kind of circle, but are you finding, you know, people are supportive all around? I know, like in your personal life, not as much, but online.
The community part, especially online community, because there's really not much here community wise. It's just, it's hard to find stuff, especially being in a small town. I haven't had any issues with being here, and I present femme pretty much I haven't boy moded in months. So I'm pretty much in full makeup. I'm in dresses. I'm in like skinny jeans. I haven't had an issue yet. I haven't been called names or anything, but that can easily change. The online community has brought me a lot of closure and a lot of friendships and just being able to have that companionship. And I've never, ever been a part of a group of people that has loved and embraced me in my entire life, more so than the trans community. And it's a wonderful thing. And I finally feel like I'm a part of something that's just absolutely beautiful. So
what platforms are you finding people to connect with?
I'm pretty much only on Instagram and Facebook. I don't really do much of the other platforms. I don't have a computer. I don't have a tablet or any of that stuff. A lot of my stuff is still in Florida as in a storage unit, so a lot of it I just don't have. So I pretty much use my phone for the most part.
So you mentioned being in boy mode just as little as, what, 3-4 months ago, something like that?
What was that? I couldn't hear that.
Sorry, said that you the last time you were in boy mode was like 3 or 4 months ago?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, so
the last time I would say was my last job in Florida. I was in boy mode.
Okay. Did you have that moment where like you were kind of between boy mode and girl mode and you were like, okay, I'm ready to just fully be girl mode?
Oh yeah.
I went to that moment where I donated all my boy clothes just to kind of force myself to get out there and just finally go back and have that fallback. So
when I was leaving Florida, it was very chaotic. So I literally donated everything. When I left, I have nothing. I have a duffel bag of clothes. I have my trunk full of my collectibles and stuff. And I literally, that's it. I don't have furniture anymore. I don't have a bed when I left because I went to go do traveling work. So it was very chaotic. So all of my clothes, most of my boy clothes, except for a couple t-shirts, are gone. So, and I pretty much primarily wore jeans because, I mean, I work construction. So it's pretty much my normal go-to is jeans and jean shorts and stuff like that, but obviously I can't wear jean shorts when I'm at job site. But
I mean, you could. But
I could,
and you should.
And I'd get really a bunch of catcalls then.
Yeah, right. Especially carrying that 12-foot.
Oh yeah. I'm known to carrying ladders on my shoulders. It's just something I've always done. So like I can carry an 8-foot ladder on there. I can carry two of them next side by side to each other on my shoulders. I can carry 12-foot. Brie has seen the 12-foot, me carrying a 12-foot ladder on my shoulders. So with a nice little, like, picked it up. So
this actually, that brings up something that I thought I was, well, I am weird apparently. But
we're,
I wanted
weird
to bring up to the entire, well, yeah, who, yeah, surprise, surprise. But and you know, kind of get everybody's opinion on when I donated my clothes, I like all my guy clothes, I cried. Like I had so many memories with those clothes. Like, you know, my these t-shirts that like I just had really great experiences in. And also I realized that the financial hit that I was not that I was giving away of like $5,000 worth of clothes. But
I shop at Walmart. Where do you shop?
Oh, I used to work at Express, so they made us buy the clothes. But I had to buy like
surprise. Your paycheck is going back into the company.
Yeah, yeah. I had enough to pay for gas to get there and back. But I looked fantastic. But did y'all? How did it feel for everybody?
I'll go first. It was a rush of relief. I was so done with that closet and I couldn't wait to get rid of it. And as I pulled away from the Goodwill after unloading probably my trunk and my back seat and my front seat just completely stacked to the roof, and I just pulled away with nothing. It's like, that's it. It's all gone. I don't have a stitch of male clothing left anymore. But I did find one suit that I'd forgotten about, and I just gave it to one of my maintenance guys before I left Texas. And lo and behold, it fit him perfect. So it found a good home. So it was, for me, it was a good positive experience. I did have those t-shirts that I had many, many memories with, and wasn't as hard as I thought it was to just say la vie, say goodbye.
Shut up. What?
I'm leaving.
I love you, bro. You're the best. Robin, Mika, what about y'all?
Yeah, for me, I was going to say, like I said earlier, for me, the boy clothes were kind of like a fallback. Like when I was feeling too insecure to go out, I would throw my beanie back on and cover my long hair and just, you know, wear a baggy shirt and go out. But I felt like I shouldn't have that crutch anymore, I guess. So I kind of, like I said, forced myself to get rid of my stuff. But it was very, I wasn't attached to any of the boy clothes. Like I said, I shop very cheap. Like I'm the kind of person that goes to Walmart, and if I find a shirt I like, I'll buy it in every color because they're only like $3 each. Yeah. And actually, this is Walmart too. So,
yes.
And but yeah, it was nice. It was kind of like you said, Danny. It's kind of like I was almost saying goodbye to Michael officially, like kind of pushing him out the door, and like Mika is here to stay. Yeah. So it was kind of a powerful moment for me.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't really have any issues. Like I said, I still have a couple t-shirts and maybe some work jeans, but I mean, they're literally in the bottom of the duffel bag that I have. I'm sorry. Yeah? I'm so sorry.
That's the fun part of editing.
I told her. Leave me alone. Anyway. My tuck panties came in. I'm so sorry. Now you know I live with my parents right now.
Great.
So, Robin, are you doing any fun activities over the holiday season? Are you going to visit anyone or anything?
No, I won't have the money. For Thanksgiving, I'm just going to be here and I'm going to have Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, I meant like the Christmas as well, or, you know, November or December.
I'm not doing anything for Christmas. Well, I mean, going to Winter Wander.
Okay. Jeez.
Sorry. My
goodness. I just had to drag it out of you. Robin's gonna be coming up. I actually went today just to see what it was like. So Robin, you are going to love it because it's freaking beautiful. So so you're coming to visit me. Are you going to visit anybody else, or just getting ready for your big move?
Yeah, my big move.
Can you tell us about that?
I found someone to move in with, and I'm moving to Detroit, Michigan.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you're getting out of the South.
Yes, absolutely. Me too.
You mentioned a bunch of benefits. Like, can you talk about like your current status, like in the South, is hormones is hard to get.
Yes.
And then there's a lot of things that are going to be a lot easier. Can you tell us about, you know, what the differences are going to be? What are you really excited about?
I'm excited to be more in a safer state. I would say I'm more excited to be, because it's another trans girl I'm moving in with. And so it's going to be like a bigger of a community. I'm going to be able to go to more groups and stuff. So it's more exciting. And to be honest, it's another adventure. Like, I'm at the point now where I feel like I'm getting stuck, and I just don't want to be stuck here.
Yeah.
And it's scary, because especially with the next year being 2024, and especially being in the South, with everything going on politically, I'd rather be somewhere safer, to be honest.
Yeah. I think Detroit, I've met a couple people who live in Detroit, and it seems like it's a really trans-friendly area. I know a lot of people who are in polycules up there. Apparently, everybody up there is E&M, and they just fuck like rabbits, which is awesome. So, if you need some numbers, and
what?
Gotcha. I can hook you up with some friends who you just want to bang it out.
Hey, say yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, cool.
I gotcha. Let's get weird.
Oh.
Yes. I can get weird. I can't wait.
Oh,
and I'll just be that closer to Canada, because it's literally like right over, like right, like a, literally hop, skip, and a jump. So if I need to really bug out, gone.
Go, Mika.
Yeah. So, Robin, this is actually our first time meeting, so I don't know a lot about you. So, if it's okay, can I ask, how was your coming out process? Like, when did you know it was time, and how did the whole thing go?
My coming out process was chaotic, to say the least. I think my egg cracked around, you remember a couple years ago when Facebook did the whole FaceApp thing?
Yes.
That was when my egg officially cracked, was when I saw myself for the first time as a woman. And I was like, this wave of euphoria hit me, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what that feeling is. So how do I feel right now? And I was really confused.
The gender swap app, right?
Like, yeah.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like Facebook has probably cracked a bunch of eggs with that face swapping thing, the gender swapping thing. Yeah. So
do you think they had that like as a plan? They were like, hey, we're going to make this thing. And then they put it out there and everybody started being like, hey, actually, this is allowing me to realize a lot of things that I thought were not possible. It's like, they want to talk about groomers, like that app.
Right? Facebook turned me trans. It's okay.
Mine was the COVID shot.
That too. I got COVID, got the shot, and was like, oh, boobs. All right, cool. I'll take them.
Mine was 5G. I stood too close to a tower.
What about you got 5G? I only got that 6G, girl. What are you talking about?
Oh, shit. I'm way behind. I'm stuck in the South. Good for you.
I'm super lost. I don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, there's just all these conspiracy theories about like what's turning people trans. Is it like,
oh,
and we just like to go off on rants about like the jokes of, oh, it's the COVID shot made me gay, and
it's the fluoride in the water.
The windmills are making us all bi.
It was the gay frogs. They did it all.
I'm tired of them putting chemicals in water to turn the freaking frogs gay.
So, Robin,
good old Alex Jones. I don't miss him at all. What's up?
Oh, Robin, you said that you live with your parents currently. How did they, how'd you come out to them? How'd they take it?
My mom's really good about it. I still get dead named and I still get like misgendered. It's fine. She's almost in her 70s. I've accepted that fate, so it's fine. My dad, on the other hand, and my very, very conservative Christian family who live in Florida, not so much. When I came, like, when I finally, when my officially egg broke, I actually came out first to an ex-girlfriend of mine from high school. Asked her a bunch of questions, and I was in tears. I was freaking out. I didn't know what was going on. It was like my egg opened, bursted open, and like that yolk is oozing all over the place. I didn't know up from down. And after all these questions, she asked me, she's like, all right, I'm going to stop you. What's going on? Are you okay? And I said, I think I'm transgender and I'm terrified. And she's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. I'm like, am I being attacked? And she apologized and said, no, you're not being attacked, but I just want you to know this. You are beautiful. You are loved. You will be okay. You're fine. It's okay to be trans. I love you. Now embrace who you are and suck it up. You got this.
Like, okay. Like that. Wow.
Super. And then I came out to my wife.
Oh, yeah, probably.
That was the easy part, right?
The easy part was great. No, the easy part was going to my ex-girlfriend. No, then I went to my wife and immediately went right back in the closet.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I went right back in the closet immediately right after telling her.
Because of her reaction?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then she outed me to my entire family.
How awful.
Wait.
So,
like, she like went one by one, or like just did like a bolt?
Oh, no. She put it on blast. Like, she called, like, I guess she called them and was freaking out and told them. And then I get a phone call from my father, and he says, I'm on my way. I'll be there in 10 minutes. And I said, this is not a good idea. Like, you do not need to be here. So he showed up, and it turned into the, well, you've never shown any signs. This is just a phase. You need to get right with Jesus. And I'm like, sure, I will get right with your imaginary friend. It's fine. No, I won't, because I'm not religious anymore. And I said, Dad, it's hard to see those signs when you weren't around. Like, yeah. You can't see them if you're not there. And they were there. Trust me. They were there.
Yeah.
I've so felt like this for a very long time. I've struggled with this. I'm angry about it.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. It was lagging up. What were you saying? You were telling me how you struggled with it. It was...
I've struggled with my identity for years. I could never since find myself. And it just turned into this mess of me just shaming myself and hating myself for most of my life. And then right after that, it started to get better with me and my wife, and kind of, but she's like, and then the therapist I had at the time was like, we've never talked about this. You've never said anything. And she's like, you're not transgender. And I'm like, then why do I feel this way? If you're not going to help me, then what's the point of having you as a therapist?
Wait, your therapist told you what to think?
Oh yeah, and then me and my soon to be ex-wife went to a marriage counselor, and whew, that was a fun experience. I was in tears. It was the marriage counselor at one point said, "Well, you're not a woman," and I'm like, "Well, yeah, I'm sorry for upsetting you." I'm like, completely shut down, like complete, just immediate shutdown.
It sounds like you just have really crappy therapists. Good Lord.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Honestly, yeah, like a therapist who's going to tell you, oh, by the way, like, I know you're going through gender dysphoria, which is a very real thing, but I'm going to just completely discredit it. It's like any therapist who says that needs to lose their license. That is insane.
Yeah. And then it turned into, I was like, and I even told my wife at the time, I said, I could bury this down. Like, you know, it's the same old, like, I can bury it down, you know, I can wait. And she's like, that'd be for the best. I don't know if I can be with a woman. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, okay. So here I am back in the closet, and then it just got worse from there. Like, I started to spiral into depressions. I started to just get so angry and just burst into just pure rage for most parts. I went numb.
Yeah.
And then I ended up cheating on her, and that's what pretty much ruined our marriage. I'm not proud about it. I hated that I did, and I still hate that I did, because that's not me as a person, and that upset me. But I was struggling, and so we separated in December, and we finally, I was staying with her. I was living in the man cave at the time, and so I was sleeping in the couch. And then she's like, "You just need to leave." It's like, I have nowhere to go. She's like, "That's not my problem. It's time to go." I'm like, okay. So I moved in with a friend, and it just got worse from there. I just was just trying to work and make ends meet. I was struggling really bad. And then I would say I had one foot out the door around the time I started hormones. I was just trying to find reasons to just end it. And my best friend, that I love dearly, and I miss them, but they're still alive. They live in Tennessee now. We were just sitting around and we're smoking. I'm a stoner, so just throw that out there. And they stopped me and said, "Hey, can we have a conversation?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely. What's the conversation?" And the moment they say girly pop, it's a serious conversation. Immediately it's like, "All right, listen here, girly pop." I'm like, "Oh, it's serious time now. Like, I gotta like focus." And they looked at me dead in the eyes. We locked eyes. And she goes, "I love you. You are my best friend in the whole wide world. But I am not going to walk in this apartment or this house, and you're going to be dead on the floor. You are miserable." And they were right. I had one foot out the door. I was just trying to find ways to just end it. And they looked at me and said, "You need to make that phone call. You're miserable. You need to make that appointment. This is not going to change until you finally take that step, that leap." And I said, "Okay." I made the appointment the next day.
Wow.
And I was scheduled for January 4th, my original scheduling. And I said, "Okay, I can get through the holidays and I can start new year, new me." I met my doctor previously at a transgender medical forum, and she knew my name and immediately saw my name across her board. And she goes, "I'm moving this doll up," and moved me up to 2 months prior to the November 15th. And so I started hormones on November 15th, and I never looked back. So I'm in a lot better place. What?
Girly pop is powerful.
It's very powerful. Like when they looked at me with the locked eyes, and I can see through the glasses, and it was, "Look here, girly pop." I'm like, "Oh." Attention. Immediate attention.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how I feel like in the trans community there's a lot of that the suicidal ideations, it seems like it's a lot more common. And they always say, like, there's a lot of suicide, you know, people in the trans community are very at high risk of suicide. And I feel like nobody really takes that into account when they're, like, telling us, "Oh, you just need to deal with it. Go back in the closet. I couldn't be with you. No, you're not a woman. You're XYZ." And they don't really realize, like, you've realized you're pushing me towards the edge. There's statistics that are saying that I am at a much higher risk of suicide. And when you're saying this crap to me, you're pushing me towards it. So I don't know. I guess it's just these people, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They're like, "Oh, and, you know, we don't want anybody to hurt themselves, but you're not a woman." It's like,
and especially if they're in like the medical field when it comes to like therapies and stuff, it's like they're literally telling these people, like, literally telling us, like, "You're not this." And like, "But then why do I feel this way? If you're a therapist, then why do I feel this way? Tell me, because clearly I don't have the answers and I'm scared."
Yeah. Well, and I think that really goes to the fact also that, like, this isn't a choice, because nobody would, I mean, with the rate of self-harm that we do, the addictions that I know are rampant in the trans community of drugs and alcohol, the high level of cutting and burning, and I mean, sadly, suicide. I feel like a lot of people, like, why would we choose to be in a thing where we're at a really high risk of hurting ourselves? So for all those listening who think it's a choice, fuck yourself.
And for those people listening who and for the people who are questioning themselves, just know that you are loved, you are valid, you are strong, and you are brave. You got this.
Yeah.
And we are all here for you, no matter what.
I love that. And it, you know, yeah, and like, and I always say, you know, don't listen to us. I mean, well, listen to, sorry, that's a bad way to start that sentence. Listen to us, but don't take what we say as gospel. Please talk to a therapist. If your therapist says the same things that Robin's first therapist was saying, find another therapist. Until you find somebody who actually gives a shit about you, keep looking and keep looking.
And,
keep looking.
Not a paycheck, because...
Yeah. And, yeah, and, you know, honestly, they always say there's the two best times to plant a tree are 20 years ago and right now. And so if you think that you may be a trans person, get a second opinion, get a third opinion, get a fourth opinion.
And plant a tree.
And plant a tree.
Yes.
In your heart. In your heart.
Preferably pine. Those things grow quick.
Or make it a redwood if you like the slow.
You know,
burn.
Honestly, I planted a mango tree and an apple tree, and those things grow pretty. Like, well, the mango tree wasn't as fast, but the apple tree grew like crazy.
Those apple grow on trees?
Since yeah, I grew a tree. I ate an apple, and when my daughter was born, I planted the seed when we found out that my wife was pregnant. And so by the time she was born, we had this little tree going, and I called it my Elliot tree.
Oh.
Oh.
So,
that's awesome.
And then,
that's the cutest thing I've heard all day. Thank you.
Hey, Robin, how did you come up with your name? And I'm really hoping it's because you're a Batman fan.
So I'm not a Batman fan.
Oh,
I am a Spider-Man
She's
fan.
A Winnie the Pooh fan.
I'm that too. I do impressions, so we'll probably get to that in a second. I'm a Spider-Man fan and a lifelong Spider-Man fan. I actually have Spider-Man tattooed on my forearm.
Cool.
So I'm gonna have to like get up so you can see it.
Oh, I see you're not wearing any pants or underwear. But yeah, that's a cool tattoo.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. You know, sometimes you gotta let him breathe. I'm sorry. You saw me. Everybody's watching. You saw me. I get it. Did you like
no,
it?
That's a really cool tattoo.
I know it makes you people cheer. Are you not entertained?
This is Girl Dad Girls.
So fast, too. Check out this tat. You're not wearing any pants.
Oh, yep. Boom. There you go. Oh, and
in the spirit of an online interview.
For all the people who are going to be future watching this, because let's be honest, I'm going to get famous. Enjoy your earworm. Manamana. Enjoy your earworm. You are welcome. I came up with my name in different steps. When I was a kid, my original name was supposed to, well, I'm not going to throw my dead name out there. It was supposed to be, my initial was supposed to be CRC. And when I was born, nah, screw it. My dead name is Robert. And so it was the closest thing to Robert I can come up with, but also... When I was a kid, it was supposed to be Christopher Robert instead of Robert Christopher. And when my grandmother piped up, I was like, isn't that the kid from Winnie the Pooh? My dad flipped out and changed my name at the last second and pissed my mom off.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, honestly, you know, when you said it like that, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that being.
So,
yeah.
My mom has never called me by my first name ever. She's always called me by my middle name. So that's what stuck with me for the most part. But I came up with Robin because, and the way it's spelled, is there's a pop star named Robin. And when I was a kid, I found her album and I fell in love because I used to watch MTV back in the early 2000s and, you know, just watch music videos. And I found her music videos and I loved it. And so I found her album and I bought it, and just the name stuck with me forever. And so when I was trying to come up with names for myself to change my name, I went through like the whole spiel, like I was going to use my grandmother's name of Lucille, or I was going to use like, it was going to be Christina Lucille. And then I wanted to go off the walls, and because my two favorite historical figures are Marie Laveau, the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, and Zelda Fitzgerald, the wife of F. Scott Fitzgerald, who was a famous artist back in the 20s. And so I was going to hyphenate Zelda Marie Cadell. And so I decided to stick closest to my name. So I went with Robin Christine instead. So yeah, I got the name and the spelling from a pop star.
So, you know, like one of the, one thing that I, and I know that we tagged it about, you know, dead names and everything a couple episodes ago. One thing that I think is very interesting is a lot of trans women who, like, everybody has runs the gambit of enjoying their name, hating their name. Obviously, I don't mind mine. The thing that's really strange to me is even if people absolutely hate their dead name, it seems like a lot of people pick names that are similar to their dead name. Like, you know, me, I share I don't mind mine, but I still share a couple letters. And it seems like, yeah, even if you hate it, you still kind of keep around it, which is strange because you would think you'd like push it as far away as possible. But
I also liked my initials too. I liked RCC because I always go like because my favorite soda is Royal Crown Cola, and that's the initials of my name.
we all have a reason.
Hey, RC is delicious, and I'll fight RC whoever Cola. Fight me.
Wait, isn't RC Cola that soda that you get at the 49-cent plus store?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Don't you want to get a tab, too?
It's right next to Mr. Pim.
Yeah. That's what I should get tattooed on me, too. Just a can of tab for no obvious reason. Just there have
you
it.
You can put a can of Pringles next to it. Once you pop,
ooh, get a bottle of Zima, just random bottle of Zima tattooed. And like, what?
I saw a guy. Why? With a American flag tattoo, and on the across the front of it, like it was all over his arm, and right down the middle of it was a bottle of Tabasco sauce, and I was like, "What the fuck?"
Shut the fuck up!
No, and I looked at it, and I tried to get as close as I could to see if he wrote something on the Tabasco sauce bottle. It was just a bottle of Tabasco sauce. He liked two things, apparently.
American Tabasco.
Freedom and hot sauce.
I bet you that man called it Tab sauce, not Tabasco.
These are hurting, y'all.
Oh. Some of that yummy Tasco sauce.
Oh, God.
I know we always tend to ask a lot of trans questions on this podcast for some strange reason. No, Robin. So what are your next big milestones? What are you looking forward to in terms of your transition? Are there things?
I got through the year, and that's apparently, from what I understand, it's the hardest. It's the hardest one to get through is the first year. So past my year point. I'm getting my orchiectomy done at some point. I might wait a little while. And then obviously face and boobs gotta get done. I mean, other than that, just surviving and just trying to make money and living as my most authentic self is really what I want to do the most.
When you get your orchi, are you gonna ask to keep them like in a jar so you can just kind of display them on a shelf?
I kind of want to like put it in formaldehyde and send it to, I don't want to say that gob of ghouls name on here. Send it to Ron DeSantis so he can have some balls.
Good answer.
Cause clearly he doesn't. But they're so atrophied at this point, so it's like, I'm not really giving it to him. I'm not really giving him anything extra. It's just going to be like, well, I mean, why don't you just embrace the rainbow, dude? It's going to be like, it's going to be wrapped in this nice little jar, and it's going to say, here, embrace the rainbow. We know you're closet gay. It's okay. My friend.
Oh, God, you're going to get black bagged overnight.
Probably. Fine.
What happened to Robin? Oh. You know,
well,
she's facing her balls to Ron.
Robin went out the way she wanted to, making fun of a shitty celebrity.
Gobble ghoul.
That's awesome. Yeah, so okay, so that's cool. You have a kind of a plan. And that kind of leads into one of the questions that I do like to ask people is, you know, the whole is there a finish line for your transition? Like, is there a point where you consider yourself done transitioning? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm going to be, I don't really think you can really end transitioning. I think it's more of just you accept yourself more and more. And it's like, I'm always going to suffer from gender dysphoria. I'm always going to suffer from depression. And it's just one of the things that get easier over time to deal with. And the more and more I look authentically as myself, the better it gets. But you're still going to have those moments. I mean, there's people who've been transitioning for 10, 15 years and still have those moments. And it's, and I'm, you know, I can't produce estrogen naturally. So I'm going to have to be on the medicine for the rest of my life. And that's fine. And I've accepted that. And that's not going to change for me. I mean, I guess the medical term, medical way of saying it's like 3 to 5 years is how long, you know, the puberty is going to last, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of the best answer I can give really, because I don't really think you stop at any point. You just get better progressively. It gets progressively better over time.
Yeah. I gotcha.
You asked me that same question on my interview, but I think I have a different answer now. Can I get into that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think the end of my transition will be the day I'm able to queef out of my own vagina. Then I'll be like, now I'm a real woman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my God.
That's going to be the day. Today. Today.
And we did a 50-year-old laugh track. Oh, God.
Mika's going to be like, hey, guys, let's jump on a Zoom call real quick. Watch this. Yeah, it's like, oh, wow.
Hey, pin it. I'm done.
Mic drop.
Put a fork in me. This bitch is done.
You know, honestly, yeah.
I'm out. You could stroll off in the sunset like Thelma Louie. It's just, that's it. I queefed out of my vagina. That's all I can, that's it now.
Changing my handle to Queen Laquifa.
Yes.
Alan stitches, Danny.
It's hurting. It hurts. It hurt. Oh,
it hoits.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. You know, and that's the fun part about it is it can always be dynamic. It's like, you know what? I'm going for double queef now.
Yes, double queef power.
I'm a lifelong learner.
Queefmany.
Oh God. Do you know what I'm feeling right now, Meek?
What's that?
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Okay.
Okay.
So I brought this on last time. Robin, I know on this show we talk a lot about being trans and stuff, but I'm the first person to always say I think we're so much more than just our gender. So if it's okay, I'm going to ask you a few rapid fire questions just to kind of get to know you on a more personal level. Okay.
Okay.
So I'll ask all three first, and then you can go one by one, take as much time as you need, or answer shortly. It's totally up to you. So first one.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite guilty pleasure movie that you like to watch that maybe nobody else likes or nobody knows, but just for you? Second. If you can
now all of YouTube's going to know, so it's fine. Okay. I would favorite movie, a guilty pleasure movie, I would say is Dragon Ball Evolution. Legit.
That works.
It's so bad, but I saw it in theaters and I loved it, and it was just so bad. So I'm like, whatever, it's fun.
Was that a live action?
It was.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Second question. If you could eat any dessert in the world right now, what would you eat?
Oh, God. Any dessert in the world.
I've got an answer for that one.
What's yours?
I would say a tiramisu from Milan.
Ooh.
From Italy.
Oh, dang. Have you had that before?
I've had tiramisu. I've never had it in Italy.
Oh, I see.
I want to go have it authentically from the actual country it's from. So
nice. And finally, do you have any special hidden talents?
I skateboard.
Yeah.
Like, well, great. Like just to travel, or can you do flips and stuff?
Just... I used to be able to do tricks. I've been skateboarding since I was in sixth grade in middle school, and that was back. I'm about to date myself. That was in the 2000s, like early 2000s. The best trick I ever learned, I ever landed before I ended up tearing three ligaments in my ankle from running track. I did a double kickflip off of 10 stairs.
Dang, that's awesome.
So you were like semi-pro.
Yeah, and like very, very amateur pro. But yeah, I mean, I actually, it's I have a video of it somewhere.
Well, and Robin, remind us, what was the brand of the helmet that you were wearing when you did that?
What helmet? I'm no poser.
That's still... These were leading questions. But that was a leading question. But Mika, those were awesome questions. Actually, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ladies want to take a crack at that? I want to know what your favorite dessert is.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. Cherry's Jubilee.
Yeah, I'm on fire. Curious.
Yeah, mine's flan as long as somebody stepped in it, but...
I just saw that fucking coming.
No. A mile away. A mile away.
No, chocolate mousse.
I think mine would have to be Cinnabon. I love a good... Every time I go to the mall, I have Cinnabon.
Cinnabon and Sbarro.
Auntie Anne's, though, too.
Auntie Anne's, the cookie place?
Oh, the pretzel place.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you're thinking of Mrs. Fields for the cookies, I think. Great American Cookie.
Great American Cookie Company. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Where they make the cookie cakes that are like the size of, a lily pad.
Oh,
not
I
a
love
regular
that.
One.
I love
them. Like the Japanese lily pads, like the size of the couch.
Do you ladies have a guilty pleasure movie?
Oh, God. Yes. Alfred Hitchcock, Rear Window.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Apparently mine is apparently mine is Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. Even though I've never seen it. I actually went back and watched in the hotel. I couldn't sleep at like 4 a.m. and so I watched about 30 minutes of it and I had to stop. When the car came out that was like designed like Hulk, I was like, you know what? There's just
That's Lil Bow Wow's car.
When that car came out, the movie went off. No,
it went off. Couldn't even make it past 30.
Oh my gosh! No! I forgot. I'm changing my movie. It's Doctor Strangelove. That's my guilty pleasure movie.
Love that movie.
Honestly, like now, so it wouldn't have been before because I always made fun of everybody for watching it, but now I really enjoy watching Frozen.
That's a good one.
Let it go.
Too. I love the song.
That is a genuine guilty pleasure movie.
And Moana.
Moana. That's a good one, too.
That's true. You know, honestly, until I thought about it, I wanted to go as Moana for Halloween, and then I was like, wait, no, that is culturally insensitive.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no bueno.
If you look up Moana costumes on Amazon, there's a bunch of like these white women wearing the costume, and I'm just like, who thought that was a good idea? But anyway,
every white woman ever.
Yeah.
Or
people who sell
them
on Amazon.
I'm Moana. No, you're not. Shut up.
What was the other question?
Hidden talents.
Yeah, hidden talents.
Hidden talents. Ooh. Oh shit! I don't have any hidden talents anymore.
I showed you guys mine last time, where I could pop my boobies without touching them.
That's true.
And yeah.
Mine are a little dirty. It's fine.
Save it.
Yeah, they are
hot.
Yeah, for the after show.
Hot.
We'll just say size queen. We'll go there.
I don't know if it's really a talent as much as just sort of like something. I mean, it's all in Rubik's Cube, and can't do it under a minute because that's just not in my wheelhouse, apparently. But in under 2 minutes,
Very impressive.
I can't even solve a Rubik's Cube, so you beat me there.
And drumming. Because I guess it's not really a hidden talent because I've done it in front of people. But, yeah. Well, I haven't done it recently. So.
Well, I would say the other hidden talent that I have is I do impressions. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Like what?
Oh, can you, wait a minute. I have a request for that. Can you explain the importance of PPE to Michaela?
Okay.
In the words of Hank Hill.
Now, when you get down to the job sites, you got to make sure you have on your PPE. That's your personal protection equipment, I'll tell you what.
Oh my God, that was awesome.
Nico, yes! I also do, I can do Cotton Hill as well.
All right, where's my breakfast, Hank Swat?
Tojo.
Oh, do you now, Tojo?
Oh my God. I can do the line from Taken as Kermit the Frog.
Okay, that I got.
I don't have any money, but what I do have is a certain set of skills. A certain set of skills make me a nightmare for you, like you. If you do not let the pig go, I will track you down. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Yay!
That was awesome.
Ego, yay!
People listening are going to get so sick of that. It's going to be amazing. Like, can somebody take away the media things from Danny?
I also do Mickey Mouse. A hot boy!
Oh, dang, that was good.
Hot diggity dog!
And a really good Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, bother. You happen to have any honey? I'm quite hungry.
But, oh, yeah, and Winnie the Pooh as a sadist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, call me a failed bear. Oh, slap me, Daddy.
Waterboard me with honey.
Oh, waterboard me, Daddy, with honey.
Oh, fantastic.
Yay, I'm a bag of cats.
Ooh, my jaw hurts.
So, Robin, I guess getting back to, like, I did have a question that I wanted to ask you. I know that you and I have been doing a lot of lives. We used to do a lot of lives. I think we've stopped doing them recently. What would you say the role, like, what is Instagram, positive and negative? What do you think it's had an effect on your transition?
I'd say it has a positive effect on my transition. A lot of my friends came from Instagram, so it's being able to do lives is and being able to talk to other trans people and have that connection. Even though I'm not there with them, I can still talk to them. And if I have questions, if I have those emotional moments, I can always take it off and call somebody. And it's actually helped me a lot with the community, and it also has helped me with my emotions and my mental state for the most part.
Do you think it's had any negative effects on you?
It's easy to get addicted to.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that I just feel like you always have to check, and then you get that FOMO feeling where you just, like, you see your friends come on lives, and especially when I work nights, so it's, you know, I'm like, oh, I would rather be doing that than this, and then, you know, I'm on my phone getting in trouble, I can, you know. So it's one of the things that's easy to get addicted to, and in those moments you just have to take a break from it, and if you don't, it's just gonna drive you crazy if you don't. So that's why I'm now trying to limit my time for the most part. And it's also easy to go through spirals because I follow a lot of political stuff on there as well. So seeing all the doom and gloom all the time just really just makes you completely just circle the drain and, you know.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a double-edged sword. Because you meet a bunch of really nice people, but then I feel like my feed is always just filled with people who are further along than I am or are doing things that I kind of wish I was doing, which I guess is kind of the, you know, sort of the algorithm. When you see somebody doing something cool, they're like, we're going to show this, we're going to pump this because it's cool. I feel like everybody has like a different take on whether or not it's a benefit, a hindrance, or I guess Bree and Mika. Mika, it seems like you would be the resident expert on, like, it seems like you've been doing it for a lot longer than us. But what do you all think of do the benefits outweigh the drawbacks of Instagram, of Facebook, of TikTok, of name your platform?
I think it actually depends on the platform. I think Instagram has been the most positive platform I've been on, where I find people that actually want advice or just want to be friends or just want to support anything that I post. But like if I get like a trending video popping up on TikTok, then I get all the hate and the negative side of it. So
I thought TikTok was supposed to be more accepting than Instagram. Is it not?
TikTok is the worst. They are so mean. They will be the very first comments on any post is always like, you're a man or you're a dude.
Like YouTube comments.
I guess so. Yeah. But Instagram, I mean, I do have my trolls, but I think I handle them pretty well. So,
yeah. I mean, well, that was when I first came out. I had some friends who were out in Seattle, and I was lamenting that there was no one around. I mean, there are people around here, but I was lamenting that there wasn't anyone to really confide in around here. And they're like, you should jump on TikTok. There's a really great community. But hearing that from you, that's very interesting that you've had such a negative feedback.
Yeah, I got to the point where, and I was actually really early, before TikTok, I forgot what it was called. It was like Musical.ly or something like that. I was on back then. And so I got a pretty big following like out of nowhere. But then, and I enjoyed doing it, but then it got so bad to the point where now I'm just kind of more of a viewer. I will very rarely post a video anymore unless I'm inspired by something funny or maybe if I'm feeling a little unsure of myself, I like to post like a transition video, just like a before and after. But I'm really not posting or sharing too much on there anymore like I used to, unfortunately.
I think one of my first like 50 followers on TikTok was like a Tucker Carlson ripoff account. And at that point, I was like, I think I'm done with this. Yeah. It's like, it's like, I don't know.
I'm weird. See, I have a TikTok account, but I don't really scroll. I'm never on it. Like, I never turn it on. And it's like, I can do lives, but I can't film myself. I just feel like an awkward mess when I do. So it's like, that's why I don't really do TikTok or anything like that. But I can do lives all day is because I don't have to fucking save them at the end. And so it's, for me, it's more of like it's trying to film myself and just not looking like an idiot because I have self-esteem issues.
Yeah, I feel like Instagram is affirming in certain ways because of lives and, you know, when the chasers jump on and are just begging for us to friend them. Apparently that's a thing.
Some of them get fun, though. We have fun with some of them.
Yeah, I guess like I always like to get our guests to give advice to somebody who's like, say somebody who's 6 months behind where you are and is just coming up and figuring out like the TikTok stuff. What would you tell them about, or not TikTok, Instagram? What would you tell them about that kind of stuff? Like, do you think is it good to get on lives? Would you caution against it? Would you say, what are the best parts? What are the worst parts?
I would say, for someone trying to, if they think about it, be a viewer first. Be a viewer for someone who's done a lot longer than you have, and try to get like kind of the gist of it the best you can, and then start your lives there. And interaction with people, like positive interaction, also helps. So if you have that interaction, especially when we have people that come on ours, and it's, we see, you know, people ask questions, like, do that. Get to know us first, and then maybe we'll let you on at some point. Just get to know us. But normally, it's for us. It's just trans women that we let on. So it's just other people in the same community. So it's, get to know us first, and then maybe you might be able to get on. But interact and watch and learn is what I would say. It would be the best thing to do.
I dig it.
There's people been doing this a lot longer than I have. I mean, I know a couple of them. I'm looking at one of them right there. As she turns around, like, what? What?
No.
No, stop it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think a lot of people really take it. They take the things that people say on those things really personally. I guess if anybody's watching this and is new to Instagram, one of the things I will say is, yeah, doing lives is very affirming at a certain point, because you get to go out and, like, you will get told, you know, oh, you're so beautiful. I want to see pictures of your feet.
You so hot, marry me. It's yeah. Like, no, dude, not happening.
But when people come on, there's a handful of times people will come on and be like, hey, y'all all look like men. And the thing that I've found is that those trolls will come in there and they're trying to get a rise out of you. Mm-hmm. So when people come in and they say something like that, I just laugh. I just laugh right at them. I'm like, you know what? Okay, that's cool. That's not what your dad said when he was asking for pictures of my feet. But
stepping in Juan.
Yeah. It's like, tell your dad to stop DMing me, but okay.
I'm complete opposite. You know that. Yeah. No, I'm complete opposite. I'll call you out here. If you're gonna come into my DMs and with some sideways ass shit, you're gonna get it. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think it's
And apparently my go-to is, if I let you on this thing and I see a hog, I'm going to lose it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, I swear to God, it's not going to be a good day for you.
There's Robin, and then there's Hood Robin.
Yeah. I had a guy comment on one of my posts and said, like, okay, dude. And I was like, oh, so you think I'm pretty? Oh, it's the nicest compliment I ever got from a neckbeard who peaked in high school. Have fun. Have fun sitting on that one.
Yeah. I always wonder what drives people to, like, to feel that that's, like, what can they possibly feel they're getting out of it? I honestly think that most people do that just because they're hurting so badly inside for some reason. Like, they have to go out and hurt somebody else.
A lot of it has to do with there's no immediate consequence to it. So you can literally say whatever you want on it and you're not really looking at an actual person's face.
Yeah.
So it's like you're not looking them face to face because you don't have that. You can't read that emotion just looking at a picture. So you literally, so people can say whatever they want without consequence. Say if someone, then it's always, hey, say that to my face. I bet you can't. And they can't, because now they can read that emotion. But if it's with a picture, they can say whatever they want to it, because it's not, it's an inanimate object. It's not, it's, yeah, you know, it's just there.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess that but just like what inside of somebody would drive them. Cause I don't think I've ever felt just such a desire to go out and seek to hurt somebody just because of who they are. Especially if they're not hurting me. Which is just mind-boggling that there are people out there who could just go out and be like, you know what, I really want to go make fun of somebody and possibly push them over the edge.
Well, that's a lot of reasons why I left Florida, too, was because it started to get bad. I was literally in my truck one day with another friend of mine, and someone literally, like, pulled themselves out of the window and yelled tranny at me. And I'm like, oh, thanks for reminding me. Appreciate it. I'm glad you did that. Thanks. I'm not going to cry about this later, but it's okay.
Well, I guess that's the thing is, yeah, that, I mean, it's if somebody were to yell that, and I apologize for telling what I would do, but like, if somebody comes out and they yell, like, you know, the derogatory term for trans woman, it's just like, you know what? Yeah, I am. I mean, like, it's what I, like, okay, cool. Like, you're not, yeah, that's a derogatory term for it, but it's like, all right, well, you know, honestly, that's fine. Like, I am who I am, and actually, I like myself. And yeah, ooh. I always say I traded people hating me, so I don't hate me. So yeah.
Like, I did enough of hating myself for 35 years, and I don't do that anymore. And I think another thing from having one of those questions earlier was I can actually look at myself in the mirror and say I love you for the first time in my life. And aww. To me, that's worth it.
Yeah.
Like, I give myself affirmations every day, and I always look at myself. Like, this morning, I've actually lost, I'm under 200 pounds for the first time in 10 years. And so I looked at my side profile, my size, and I was like, I was like, damn, girl, you look fucking great.
Hell yeah.
Like, look at that. Stomach's flat, like, getting some hips. I think you got a butt. Like, ah! Your boobs look great. Girl, you're doing it. And I love you. I love you. And I'm glad you're here. And I went about my business. Every day.
Well, and I guess that's where the Instagram stuff kind of comes. That's where the negative side of Instagram comes in too, though, right? Is you see these people who are, you know, 130 pounds, they're, you know, 5'11", 130 pounds, and they are just, you know, doing everything right. And I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, you know what? I start judging myself based off of that. I think Bree may have frozen.
I think Bree froze.
She looks very happy.
I was like, Bree is laughing.
But she froze perfectly, though.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like I love Instagram because of the community. But yeah, there are certain parts where it's like, unless you do that daily affirmation of admiring your own progress without comparing yourselves to the people that you see on there. Because every now and then I'll open it up and I'll see this picture of this girl, Michaelaville, and it's just like, God, she is stunning. And I'm just like,
right?
Oh my God. Well, we got Bree back. All right. At least we got audio back. But yeah. So, but that's, yeah, I think that's really important. One of those really important things to tell people as they're like coming up. I've talked to a couple people recently who have been going through really rough times. Like, I had a friend who fell back into a little bit of drug use. As I was flying back on the plane, I was getting a little bit of messages here and there about her like relapse. And I was trying to message her about it, but the plane Wi-Fi was in and out. But I was just kind of worried that, you know, this person had seen a couple of posts on Facebook, on Instagram, took it personally and started digging back into the abuse, substance abuse. And yeah, I would just say to anybody who's out there who's like just starting out, I hear apparently a bunch of people who are, you know, either eggs cracked or are yet to crack will watch these. And yeah, it's going to be hard, but don't compare yourself to others. It's going to, I can say that really easily. It's hard to do. So if you start feeling yourself going down some sort of rabbit hole, just get off Instagram. Like, not you don't have to delete it. Just get off it for a bit. Go for a walk. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't post. I feel like a lot of people will post these things. Oh, so, go ahead, Bree.
Oh, so I don't preach about much, but the one thing I do preach about is the comparison thing, because I did it. I did it for the first 2-3 months of this whole rigmarole, and it is so heinously terrible for you, because some of these people, everybody's results are different, and you cannot hold yourself up next to this person and say, oh, this is fucking impossible. Because you know what? Chances are, it might be. And that's just not your track that you're headed down. Everybody's is unique. Mm-hmm. And you cannot put yourself up to these other people, because chances are it's fake sometimes, most of the time. And you're just...
Face app is rampant.
Yeah. And you're just holding yourself to these impossible standards, and it's not going to work.
Well, Yeah, and especially, I know I went down this rabbit hole where I got addicted to, like, opening. I'd take a picture, I'd open FaceApp, and I'd, like, smooth my skin a little bit, or I'd shrink my nose a little bit. Or if my makeup wasn't quite right, I'd fix it. I'd tweak it in FaceApp, and I'd post these pictures mm-hmm. that were very pretty, but they weren't me. And yeah, once I started going back and posting pictures of me, I was just like, well, I kind of peaked a little bit back then, and it kind of made me feel really bad. So I'd say, I guess it's hard, but avoiding, I know it's fun to get a bunch of followers by posting filtered pictures, and the compliments people will say to you based off of those filtered pictures is very affirming for a while, but it doesn't last. I also, one of the things that I've realized recently, and I've kind of stopped posting a lot, I had somebody who they saw my progression over orchiectomy, top surgery, and then now FFS. For those who are listening and don't understand why the hell I sound like this, I can't feel my lower lip. They said, they were like, I'm really happy for you, but it's making me very jealous. And it made me feel really like I felt like I was part of the problem at that point. Is me celebrating these things that were making me happy was detracting from somebody else's happiness. And
That's not fair to you, though.
No, I know. No, I know. I know. But also, but I want my friends to be happy. And so.
Oh, yeah. And I understand that. But at the end of the day, this is about your journey. It's not about anybody else's. Like, you're not doing this for them. You're doing this for you. And that's the way I'm starting to look at it now. It's that I'm doing this because I want to. I'm doing this for me.
Yeah, but posting things on Instagram is not, I mean, that, like, I can do stuff for me, but without posting on Instagram, I guess, is kind of what I'm saying. And that's the thing is I know a lot of people will, it's almost this one-upsmanship of, somebody posted a really cute picture, now I'm going to post a really cute picture, so that we're kind of like, I'm staying in the fight or whatever. But yeah, I guess there's a need to post that it's unnecessary, but for some reason, I guess I got addicted to it and was posting a bunch of stuff, and apparently it made some people feel really bad about themselves. And I'm really sorry, anybody who's out there who,
I don't think you have to apologize. Like she said, it is your journey, but I kind of know what you mean. Like, when I first got my breast implants, it was covered by my insurance. And when I mentioned that, I got a lot of people giving me a hard time because their insurance doesn't cover stuff like that. And you kind of feel guilty, like, okay, well, I'm able to be in this position where I can get it, but these people aren't. But I still want them. So that's a weird place to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And it is. No, you're good. And it is. I mean, because, I get those moments of jealousy, and I think we all do. And it's only natural to have those moments. Because even if, cis women get jealous of other cis women. I mean, it's just a way of life. And so it's figuring out ways to navigate those moments. That's really what makes it breaks the situation. You just have to figure out how you can navigate it.
Well,
those feelings.
And I mean, and I know that y'all are probably not going to agree with this, but like, I would say just, being conscious of what you're putting out there and why you're putting it out there. Like, for me, I was posting a lot of pictures of, my surgeries and everything. And, it was like this celebrate me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And after a while, it was just like, I'm asking for a lot of celebrations. And I feel like a lot of people are having to, they open their Instagram and bam, look at Danny's new nose and look at Danny's new brow and her new robot and her new signs.
Wait, you got a robot? You bitch.
That's a robot. It's got a gun on it.
I want a robot.
Yeah, see, it's got a little orange tip because it shoots those little gel beads, little water beads.
Awesome.
I shot somebody in the ankle with it, and they said it hurt. And I was like, that's awesome. His name's Tyson.
You bought one of those fancy. You bought one of those fancy Transformer robots, didn't you? You son of a.
Oh no, this is like DJI, like the drone company.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
They made this as like a learning tool for high school kids, but apparently they didn't put like an age limit on when you could buy it. Suckers.
And there Tyson sits.
Yeah, so this is Tyson after Neil deGrasse Tyson. I name everything I have after scientists. So Ada Lovelace, Nikola Tesla.
Definitely thought Neil you deGrasse named Tyson, it after
and
Mike.
I have a. No. Tyson after Neil deGrasse, the best one, and then I have Bill Nye the Robot Guy. He's a little robot. Not a guy though. He's just a little robot.
Shut up! No, you did not name him that. That's amazing.
The little blue one, yeah. The little blue one back in the office.
I love it.
So, anyways, sorry. That's that. But yeah, like I would say, getting back to that whole thing is just being aware of that, like, of why you're posting something, and if you're posting just to post, maybe. Yeah,
the way I always approach posting stuff is just, for me, it's, I'm just posting it for me. Like, it's just, you know, I'm posting it. Yeah, I want to show people that I'm happy and that I'm doing well. And that's the way I look at it. I'm not trying to make anyone jealous. I'm not trying to make anyone upset. I just want people to see that I'm celebrating me and I'm happy. I'm happier now. I want people to see that. I don't want them to see the other side of, like, the depression side, because I've had those posts where I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling dysphoric, I'm feeling depressed today, but it's okay because those feelings will pass, and this journey's hard, but it's okay to be you. And that's why, and if I can, and I say this to a lot of people, if I can have one person, or just one person say, you gave me that courage to finally be who I am. That's why I do it. I don't do it for the likes. I don't do it for the followers. I do it because I want to help somebody realize that it's okay. Like, this, it's scary as all hell. And trust me, I'm terrified every day doing this. But I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't worth it. If it didn't save my life, I wouldn't have done this. And you can too. And if you're feeling those moments, it's okay to let go. And it's okay to be you. And whatever that you is, then it's okay to find that you. Like, this is all scary. It's terrifying. And I'm scared every day, every minute of the day. But I love who I am. For the first time in my life, I love who I am. And I'm not going to let anyone take that from me.
Cautiously
and
optimistic.
And neither should anybody else. Cautiously optimistic.
That's awesome. I think that was a great conversation. I think I really enjoy when we get into things like that, where people who are just starting to navigate this stuff can come on and at least like get a little bit of like words of wisdom of, you know, maybe be aware of this. I mean, obviously people are going to forget and fall back into certain things, but this is just stuff that we've come across. So I love it when we can just put stuff out there, just say words. So
words are words. They're fun.
I do want to get back into like a little bit of the lighter stuff. I guess it may be around that time that we ask. I had this question that I thought of. I was doing a post back in like 93 or whenever Instagram came out. I can't remember. But I was really happy with my transition, and I was like, I'm going to put this song on, Super Bloom by Mr. Wives. That's my transition theme song. Robin, if you were to do a post back like that, what song would you pick? What is your transition theme song?
My transition theme song is Miracle by Rise Against.
That was really
good.
You must have heard that question before.
I must have. What? I picked the song because I love music. Music is a love language of mine, and I like to communicate through music. And I mean, I have over like 900 to 1200 songs on my likes page on Spotify. So like, I love music. I picked Miracles is because it's one of the first songs that right around the time that I came out for the first time, I heard it. And then I just sat and listened to the lyrics, and it's my favorite version because there's two versions on two different albums. There is the one from Rise Against's 2017 album Wolves. It's more of a fast paced punk style song. And then they came out a year later with this this album called The Ghost Note Symphonies, and it's more of a symphonic version of their songs. And that's my favorite version, is because you can hear all the lyrics, and to me, it just screams the trans experience. It's, you know, it's, we're the miracles, you know, we don't have to wait for something to fall from the sky to part the seas around us, turn water into wine. You know, it's, we need to take that wheel. We need to take control of that, of us. We need to take control of ourselves. And so that's my transition.
That's awesome. And this is the part where we ask our guests to perform their song in its entirety. Mm-hmm. So after you, I'm just kidding.
We need you to do it as a jazz ballad, though, if you could.
Oh, God.
And a one and a two.
And go.
Damn it.
And a go.
We're waiting.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry. You're going to give me the Ted Knight? Bree, okay,
yeah,
Robin,
the caddy shack. Well, we're waiting. I love that movie, by the way.
It's actually so Mika's question, Mika's the rapid fire Mika minute, as I'm going to start calling it because it's awesome. It kind of reminded me that of another question. Robin, what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, shit. My cake.
Goddamn peace and quiet. Your kids.
For you to get off my lawn.
Sorry, what do you want? Sorry.
My someone to pay for my cake pops to get removed.
What are, like, actually, I don't really have a
Christmas present.
Well, so, and that actually, real quick, I kind of want to go around and get everybody's opinion on things like that. So, like, I'm very lucky. My employer provides insurance, which is WPATH, which is the World Professional Association of Trans Health, WPATH. They basically cover everything for face, voice, top, bottom. What are other avenues that y'all are aware of? I know some people have done Kickstarter, some people have done GoFundMe. I feel like a lot of people jump on OnlyFans as like just sort of a way to sort of go towards it. But like, what would y'all say if you needed to raise enough, like say $10,000 to do a surgery, how would you go about it? Like, what were the avenues that you would pursue first?
Purse snatching, actually.
That sounds great. I love that. is Fort Knox still like heavily fortified?
Well, yeah, but seriously though, like what, like I know, I mean, some people will do a Kickstarter and they'll push it out to like their friends and everything, but like, I feel like that's a good way to maybe get like $500 or $600. But like, are there any means? I mean, I guess obviously not, because then everybody would be doing it. But I don't know. I just kind of want to get some, like, the roundtable, some ideas of people who are out there who are like, I am desperate. I need to get rid of this thing, but I can't. I don't know. I don't even know where to begin to save up the money.
We can always do a GoFundMe. That's another go-to. I have heard that there are trans medical grants out there for certain organizations that do that. Win the lottery. I've heard that's a thing. Yeah, I, I mean, it's tough out there right now, especially with everything so being so expensive. I don't actually have insurance. I don't have insurance through work. They have yet to give me my packet for work, so I don't know if I'm going to make the cut this time. So and I checked Obamacare, and that's going to be more money. That's going to be even more expensive than the insurance that my work is offering. So I don't know what's happening. So it's all my care is out of pocket at this point.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of, I know for the consultation that I had this past Monday, they go by two lending offices, medical lending offices. I can't remember offhand what the names were, but they don't take, like, the two places that are closest to me, they don't take insurance.
Yeah.
So it's.
Yeah. One thing I will recommend people, and I'm probably going to get a cease and desist for this. Sorry, y'all. But I almost went with CareCredit to fund something when I thought I may. Say what?
That's one of them. That's yeah. Now you said that's one of them.
I'd heard, and this is purely what I've heard, so it's not fact, so you can't get me for slander or libel, whatever it is. I've heard that they will basically offer you a bunch of money, but then charge you crazy interest rates, and you will be drowning in it. Especially if you go, if you, it's good for small things, you know, $3,000-$4,000 things. But if you need something over like $25,000, they are going to eat you alive. I've heard that. So sorry, CareCredit, for listening. Please don't email me. I won't respond to it. But yeah, I would say, like, for anybody who's out there who's considering that, because I did, I really looked into it heavily and luckily avoided it. So.
I'm not doing that.
Anyway. Yay! Avoiding is always fun.
But anyways, well, that's sorry. I didn't mean to go back down into the deeps with that. But I just kind of wanted to get y'all's opinions on what you would do. I mean, like, because I'm sure there's people out there who are like, I am just lost and I need some kind of advice on where to go. And it sounds like we don't have any. So,
well, I recently raised $15,000 off of a GoFundMe. But I think I was lucky enough to be in a position to have all the followers to help me out. But for my process, I was just honest about what I needed. You know, I was really dysphoric about the shape of my body. So I just kind of poured my heart out into my campaign. And I was able to raise money for my procedure in 3 weeks. It was $15,000. Because I do have insurance, really good insurance through my work. I work for the government, and they cover almost everything I want. They would cover my face if I wanted anything. They covered my breasts. They would cover bottom surgery, but they didn't cover body contouring. So I had to
of course not. My own. We cover everything except for that.
My kids are locked in the door. Sorry, you don't have to hide. It's okay. No, you can't be on camera. But you don't have to hide.
That's so cute. Oh.
There you guys. Door, okay.
Well, cool. I think. I mean. Yeah, I feel like that's a. It's a. I mean, obviously, it's an avenue. Every little bit counts. So if you are looking to get something done, exploring crowdfunding is always a way to do it. I think a lot of people feel like they owe people money, or they owe people something when they contribute to their crowdfunding. And really, for this stuff, don't think of it that way. Like, I contribute to people who need money, not because I want them to send me pictures of their toes and flan.
But do you though, but, don't you?
I mean, I wouldn't delete them. But
I'd also say, if you have to reach out and maybe start some kind of crowdfunding, don't feel guilty about it either. I actually put it off for years because I felt so guilty asking for help. But when I started talking to people about it and my dysphoria got a little bit worse, people were telling me, people don't have to donate. It's okay. You don't have to be ashamed to ask for help. But yeah, I mean, still put it out there, and you never know. Sometimes people come through for you.
I've also heard sugarbabies.com is another avenue.
No, sugarbabies.co.
Yeah.
.co. My bad.
.co. Oh
my God.
Co.
There's not a income verification process on that, because I know a guy around here who's on it, and he does not make $5 million a year, or he is hiding it well. Anyways, well, cool. Well, that has been a that's been some really good discussions. I think we got some good content in there. I know there's a lot of other fun trans podcasts popping up here and there.
I've seen those,
and we are very happy that we have lots of other friends in the space. So hopefully, they can get some fun ideas from what we're talking about. Anyways, Robin, I guess we can go with some final thoughts. Bree, you haven't spoken in a while. You want to give your final thoughts?
Sure. I have very few. I happen to be one of the ones that's disparaging a little bit about how the hell I'm going to pull off some of the things that I need to do, but still searching for those avenues and pressing on and finding the way to make it happen. So don't stick around in the mud too long, because you'll end up staying there. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, good point. Mika?
I think my closing thoughts are, you're not officially a real woman until you queef out of your own vagina.
God damn right.
Fucking gospel.
Mika and I are going to get cease and desist orders for very different reasons, but...
I'm just kidding. You don't have to have a vagina to be a real woman, all that stuff.
You can queef out of your ass. That's
why
fine.
Did your podcast?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just a fart. Anyways. That's awesome. We're like, oh, I love that this podcast is just kind of like, it's just us being silly. Fuck. I know that so many other people like just take themselves way too goddamn seriously, and we don't, obviously, as you can tell. I would say final thoughts. My final thoughts are, be careful on the internet. There's a lot of creepy people who want to give you candy.
Ooh, candy?
Yeah. But yeah, like I know I've been guilty of going down that rabbit hole and getting really addicted to being on Instagram and doing a live every day, because I got addicted to what people were saying about me. And yeah, if you're just coming up, just be careful. And if you need it for the affirmations, you do you, boo. So anyways, but Robin, thanks so much for coming on. Robin, do you have any final thoughts?
Thank you for having me. I didn't hear that last part. Sorry.
Do you have any final thoughts?
My final thoughts is it's never too late to be you, and don't let some neckbeard steal your glow.
Amen.
Nice.
Cool. Well, awesome. Well,
they peaked in high school. They can get F themselves.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, thanks for coming on. And this is the end of the regular Girl Dad Girls. And so if you're not a Patreon subscriber, this is where we're going to leave you, unfortunately. If you are a Patreon subscriber, we'll see you on the after hours. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber,
suck it, nerds, you won't get to see this.
Because this is not me just pulling my hair back because I'm done. This is me getting ready. Oh. So, can't you imagine this being sexy? Anyways, but everybody, thank you for watching another episode of the Girl Dad Girls. And for Girl Dad Girls, I am that QT Danny B. We have Abri Saint Marie, the lovely Michaelaville, and our wonderful guest Robin. Thank you so much, Robin, again, and we'll see everybody later on.
Bye. Alrighty.
Bye.
This has been a production of Girl Dad Girls Podcast. Check out new episodes every Thursday. If you are interested in knowing more, please email info@girldadgirls.com or find us on Instagram @girldadgirls. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.